Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Text 23 from chapter 5
Aham purati te bhave bhavam mune das yastu kasyashtana veda vadinam virupito balaka eva yoginam shushrushane pravrishi nirvivikshatam Aham purati te bhave bhavam mune Dasyastu kasyashana vedavadinam Nirupito balaka eva yoginam Shushrushane pravrishi nirvivikshatam
Narada speaking to Vyasadeva O Muni In the last millennium I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Interesting first sentence. The wonder of an atmosphere surcharged with devotional service to the Lord is briefly described herein by Sri Narada Muni. He was the son of the most insignificant parentage. He was not properly educated. Still, because his complete energy was engaged in the service of the Lord, he became an immortal sage. Such as the powerful action of devotional service. The living entities are the marginal energy of the Lord, and therefore they are meant for being properly utilized in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When this is not done, when situation is called, Maya. Therefore, the illusion of Maya is at once dissipated as soon as one's full energy is converted in the service of the Lord instead of incense enjoyment. From the personal example of Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth, it is clear that the service of the Lord begins with the service of the Lord's bona fide servants. The Lord says that the service of his servants is greater than his personal service. Service of the devotee is more valuable than the service of the Lord. One should, therefore, choose a bona fide servant of the Lord constantly engaged in his service. Accept such a servant as the spiritual master and engage himself in his, the spiritual master's, service. That's parentheses. And engage himself in his, parentheses, the spiritual master's, service. Such a spiritual master is the transparent medium by which to visualize the Lord, who is beyond the conception of the material senses. By service of the bona fide spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. Utilization of the human energy in the service of the Lord is the progressive path of salvation. The whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord. That's pretty good. As soon as service in relation with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. The expert spiritual master knows the art of utilizing everything in glorifying the Lord, and therefore, under his guidance, the whole world can be turned into the spiritual abode by the divine grace of the Lord's servant. End of purport. Aham purati tabave bhavam mune das yastu kasyaschana veda vadina. Nirupito balaka eva yoginam shurashane pravrishi nirvivikshitam. A muni in the last millennium. I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Omadhyana timarandatsya Nanjana Sharakaya Chakshore Liritam Dehina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mahavisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Tadati Swaparantikam. I want to explain how these sections fit together. Up to this point in the chapter, Narada has been assessing the answer to Vyasadeva's question, why he's feeling the way he's feeling. What's missing and what to do about it. And the transition is very abrupt. He's indicating the literature that should be composed and the spirit of that literature. Some important points that literature should include, we discussed yesterday, the use of the intellect and the different features of knowledge towards the glorification of the Lord. And then suddenly, in this verse, he's giving his own life example. At least my understanding of this is, he's going to give a further instruction to Vyas. Or he's using his own life as an example of how he should fix his consciousness completely upon the Supreme. And we discussed this yesterday at a rules home. And based upon his own example, Vyas being the literary person to write literature describing that realization. So, and the way that this is being introduced, he's just giving a little autobiographical sketch of his life prior to being Narada Muni. And for the whole composition of the Bhagavatam, it's important that it's at the front side of all of this. Our acharyas have indicated this also, Jiva Goswami in particular, that Vyas is choosing to have us understand the relevance of this subject matter to all of us and to all the people of Kali Yuga, who are also quite insignificant and obscure and tiny and not well educated, not whatever the in Kali Yuga, whatever the birth one has according to scripture, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. Everyone is born in that condition, regardless of their parentage, because of the, specifically Prabhupada's point, is the observance of samskaras. That alone is enough to make one not eligible for considering, according to birth, this is my situation. I hope that that point is clear. In the Vedic system, where proper samskaras are observed, and that's one of the reasons why we as devotees should also do the same, when proper samskaras are observed, that provides a certain impression, and with that impression, a certain eligibility, or at least a certain push in the direction of inclination towards the spiritual side of life. And when that, just that one thing is neglected, then Brahmana by birth becomes Brahmabandhu, born of but not with the qualification of such a person. And Brahmabandhu, Dvijabandhu, this term is used often in the Bhagavatam, and it generally implies a lack of qualification, not only a lack of samskaras, even if the samskaras may have been performed, just like Sringi, the son of Shamakrishi, although his proper samskaras will assume or perform, his behavior was not proper. Or Ashvatthama, his, in Prabhupada's language, his decisions were immature, they weren't wise. And so is the age of Kali. His Bhagavatam is composed just prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga as the literature for people of this age to derive ultimate spiritual benefit in this Kali Yuga. So Narada is using his own example, or Vyasa is choosing to put it way in the front side of the Bhagavatam, Narada's situation and how he achieved perfection. Similarly, what are the principles that we should be tuned into so that we can achieve perfection? And that's where Prabhupada's attention goes in the purport. There's two things that he's highlighting in the purport: the potency of devotional service and the importance of beginning and continuing that devotional service by the association of and the continued guidance of a bona fide servant of the Supreme Lord. Perhaps a third major feature of this is, he says it three times in the purport, the necessity of complete energy engaged in the service of the Lord. Actually, he says it four times, because one of the times is, he says, by service of the bona fide spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. again, giving his complete energy. Anyone who gives their complete energy with this little qualifier that it's under the direction of. In Kali Yuga, from the first chapter we know, the symptom is that people are lazy. Even in spiritual life, even in Krishna consciousness, because we're victims of Kali Yuga, the tendency for complacency is there. Again, difficulties, when the initial impetuses of the four categories, Shato Vidhava Jante Manjana Sukritin Orjana, Jnani Arti, one wants knowledge, one wants economic improvement, one wants relief from distress, one is curious, Jigyasu. When those things are a little satisfied, then complacency. And then when things get a little difficult, or they start sliding back the other direction, then sit up straight. I know the devotee, well, Nayana Bharam is the devotee who claims he's the one that Prabhupada said sit up straight to. I'll tell the Prabhupada story. After 26 Second Avenue, the number of devotees outgrew 26 Second Avenue, and so they moved across the street and up a block or so to a loft or a second floor space at 61 Second Avenue. And maybe you've seen some of the pictures. There was a very tall altar. The deities were on shelves stacked up on top of one another. And Prabhupada would come and sit with the devotees. And that tape, their japa tape, is Prabhupada chanting at 61 Second Avenue. And Nayana Bharam, if you knew his nature, you could picture this in your mind. He said he was curled up, kind of leaning in a curled position, leaning against the altar on the side, which you shouldn't do even to begin with. And when Prabhupada saw him sitting like that, he stopped chanting and said, sit properly. So, back to the theme here. Under the direction of the representative of Krishna, and another expression that Prabhupada is using here is that such a spiritual master is the transparent medium, like a lens, by which to visualize the Lord, who is beyond the conception of the material senses. So, what kind of seeing is that? It's obviously not the kind of seeing that we're accustomed to. It's the seeing what's beyond the senses, with the medium is devotion, and the lens is the transparent medium spiritual master. So service is reposed upon the spiritual master because the object of service is beyond our sense inspection. And with faith in Krishna, and faith in the words of Krishna, and faith in the steadfast representation of the words of Krishna by Prabhupada, One should therefore choose a bona fide servant of the Lord, constantly engaged in his service. Accept such a servant as the spiritual master and engage himself in the spiritual master's service. Such a spiritual master is the transparent medium by which to visualize the Lord, is beyond the conception of the senses. The point here is, it's just reading this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj is describing this very succinctly and very eloquently, that the process of the whole process of devotional service, this is Krishna's internal potency, and by Krishna's internal potency, the spiritual master acts as the agent of, or the representative of, or the instrument of the external manifestation of Krishna. Because Krishna's in the heart, we can't see Krishna in the heart. Something like that passage that I, very related to the passage of yesterday in Arun's home, that because of the darkness of ignorance, we can't see. And as when sun and the moon are present, then we can see. The things are already there, but without the assistance of the light, we can't see. And similarly, with the assistance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the darkness within the heart is dissipated, and then the Lord is revealed. And then the mellows of service to the Lord awaken through the medium of the two Bhagavatas, and then the Lord becomes becomes controlled by that love of his devotee. So similarly, he very quickly goes into describing about Lord Nityananda just after this, but he describes that because we cannot see the Lord, the Lord appears in his external form, and all the scriptures confirm that is how the spiritual master is to be seen. Now, that doesn't mean that it's Mayavadi doctrine to say the spiritual master is Krishna. There was a little episode in our Hare Krishna movement the summer of 1970, when three devotees Prabhupada had just given sannyas to began marching around America saying that Prabhupada was God. They kicked him out of the movement. An example to show that he would not tolerate such things. He forbade them from even visiting a temple, and said they had to rectify themselves by going to a place where there was no temple and preaching Krishna consciousness properly. And that was the situation where the Gainesville temple was started, and the Austin temple was started in Arizona or something. Temple was started by Brahmananda, Vishnujan, and Subal. They had just been given sannyas. And they went to New Vrindavan during Janmashtami and during Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. They were saying, they're taking extra devotion, those quotes about worship of the spiritual master, acceptance of the spiritual master, saying Prabhupada is God. And the word came to Prabhupada within a matter of hours, and within a matter of minutes, there was a directive. They're to leave the property, they're not to visit any of our temples, not even to visit. I won't stand for this. So we should not think in that Mayavadi way that our teaching literally is that the jiva soul is Vishnu. That's big apparat. But it's at the same time the scripture does indicate that the spiritual master, Krishna says, is to be accepted as my very self. That means as representative. As, like in our Rath Yatra in New Jersey, that the mayor of Jersey City sends his representative. He's the official guy that goes to places that the mayor can't go to and represents the mayor. And he's honored like the mayor, or like an ambassador from a country is honored like the president, or he's the representative of the country. He's obviously not the country. He's a person. Jiva soul is not God, but he's respected as good as, because the Supreme Board is beyond the conception of the material senses. So Krishna arranges for someone a means for the Supreme Lord to be represented before us. And he invests his potency. You are authorized to represent me. Now that authorization can be removed, certainly, if there's cause to do so. But without cause to do so, then by reposing service there, the awakening of devotion is factually made manifest, not imaginatively made manifest, but factually devotion is awakened. And Krishna, the transparent medium, just transmits transparently whatever service to Krishna. That's the system. And bhakti awakens, and visualization of Krishna. What is that visualization? It's visualization within the heart, or the feeling of the presence of the Lord, and again, in proportion to the service rendered. Now, proportion of service rendered doesn't mean necessarily volume. Like in order to become a good devotee, you have to be like a top that's spinning at high speed. Just keep the top spinning as fast as possible, and then you're Krishna conscious. That's not communion. Whatever it is that we do, that our deliberation, what the consciousness behind the activities that we do, is that it's for Krishna. And if something is done for Krishna, then we certainly want to do it very nicely. This is the distinction between attachment to fruits, like Nanda Vrindavan's question yesterday. She's not here, but she can hear the recording. It's not that we're attached to an outcome. We are attached to doing things very nicely because it's for Krishna. And it's that mood of love that Krishna accepts, because he determines the outcomes. So what he doesn't place under his control is our mood of love, or our free will. Otherwise it's not free will. How we choose to regard Krishna, that's what we have. Or say the same thing in a more emphatic way. We can say factually nothing is ours except one thing. That's our relationship with Krishna. And when we take that one thing that's ours and act upon it in a favorable way, Krishna accepts. And the outcome, how the thing comes out, that's Krishna's. What's ours is our relationship with Krishna. So if our attention is going very, very carefully, very attentively to our relationship with Krishna, then Krishna, proportionate to that service, mood, Krishna reveals himself. He consents to reveal himself. We have the chance of experiencing of Krishna's disclosure. I am like this. The actual loving nature of Krishna, the actual qualities of Krishna. The form of Krishna, the sound of Krishna's voice, the touch of Krishna's hand, all the varieties of exchange with Krishna through the medium of devotional service. Now, in Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada is right to amplify what Prabhupada is saying in the purports. I'd like to make two references. One is to Rupa Goswami's teaching and method of devotion. There are so many items of devotional service. One of the chief of them is Rupa Goswami's own bringing special attention to it is Guru Padashraya, is his term. Or our Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, Acharya Upasana. These terms both indicate the same thing, that this is the items of knowledge or the access to bhakti. Or here it's Narada's life itself and Prabhupada's purport explaining it. The evidence is ample. The approach to Krishna is made possible through that medium. And in Krishna's own words, not otherwise, one who claims to be my devotee, he's not my devotee. That's pretty strong. So there's something in the mind in which for someone who claims to be Krishna's devotee. But from Krishna's perspective, approach to him is not available except through his representatives, through his devotees. In Lord Chaitanya, in the Bhagavatam, this teaching is it's right in the front side of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, early chapter. In the first canto, the author of the Bhagavatam itself is receiving that knowledge in this same system. He has a spirit. He's a, as we mentioned yesterday morning, Narada recognizes that he is an avatar of Krishna. Still, he has a spiritual master. And he's bewildered. And he requires a spiritual master to relieve that bewilderment. The principle that Krishna has uttered is a real principle. The approach to him is possible this way. It's a system. And the result, speaking on, just addressing further this point of the spiritual master as the representative of Krishna, or is to be respected as my very self, connects with this final point that Prabhupada is making in the purport, which is what to speak of something that you use, like paraphernalia that's used in the worship of the deity. We know that from Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is Ananta Shesh, manifestation of the Supreme Lord, and it's Tadiya, it's worshipable. But the point that Prabhupada is making here is the whole world can become non-different than the Lord. Now that doesn't mean the world becomes God. It means that this non-different, the complete spiritualization of this material atmosphere, which is a very important, please consider carefully. We have very strong material atmosphere surrounding us. And how do we address ourselves to that strong material atmosphere? Well, you spiritualize it. So it's not like, you know, you walk into a grocery store and you
set up a little altar and you say, Krishna, please accept everything that's offerable in here. I'm going to offer it to you right now. But in standard ways, that principle is, children crying in cell phones. In standard ways, we take that which we come in contact with in a legitimate way and consider under the principles, as we were discussing yesterday, with the proper spiritual conception that all things come from Krishna, so this is Krishna's, and then under proper direction, how to connect this to Krishna's service, and we can create a spiritual atmosphere. Certainly that spiritual atmosphere should be in the home, and where are those places that we frequent outside the home to carry Krishna bhakti in our heart, and under the direction and guidance and with the submission to the representatives of Krishna, engage ourselves in that way, it spiritualizes the place. One memorable incident in my life in devotional service was hearing Prabhupada address this point very, very succinctly. What makes, when visiting a temple, they have just, they had just rented a place, they hadn't bought a place, they had rented a place as a temple, and Prabhupada was visiting, and Prabhupada was saying, what makes this house a temple? The whole row is so many houses, and we say, these are houses, and we say, this one's a temple. What makes it a temple? Because everything is dedicated to Krishna. The deity is here, all activities are for the service of Krishna, the chanting of the holy name, the complete energy of the persons here are in Krishna's service, and therefore we call it a temple. So to make the place where we reside a temple, to make the place where we go to sanctify, or to bring, not we sanctify, it's Krishna's energy sanctifies the place, the energy of devotional service. And the hearts and the lives of people become transformed, touched and transformed by that internal potency of the Lord. That's all we have to do, just cooperate. Just stay engaged in Krishna's service, in that consciousness of being the representative of the representative of the representative of the confidential associates of Krishna. We carry that spiritual potency, the internal potency, and the place becomes sanctified. Or, the whole world can be turned into the spiritual abode by the divine grace of the Lord's servant. In answer to one reporter, when Prabhupada was asked, what will happen if the whole world becomes Krishna conscious? If everyone becomes Krishna, follows your movement, becomes Krishna conscious? Prabhupada's answer was, don't worry, they won't. But if they do, then this place would become like Vaikuntha. Consistent in his teaching. And so if the whole cosmic manifestation, the whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord, as soon as service in relation with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and so similarly bona fide spiritual master has become such a touchstone because of that person similarly being engaged under the guidance of his spiritual master completely with full energy in the service of the Lord. under full energy, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, gives himself to such persons. That's what Prabhupada calls the mystery of devotional service. Krishna is remote, but he becomes immediate. Immediate, his presence is immediate through the medium of devotional service. So there's our teaching, and Narada is giving his example to Vyas, and Vyas is choosing to give us Narada's example right at the beginning part of this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, so we can understand. The idea is we're being given an opportunity to understand the essential principle of devotional service. How does it work? And then to understand better how does it work, here's an example. And ideally, the mandate for us is to become similar examples for people in the world. Some are householders with children. Some are unmarried men in school. Some are sannyasis. Each person is meant to... The same principle applies. Complete energy engaged in service of the Lord. And that way we can be little walking examples. Through the person from the previous verse, the person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat, through that, excuse me, that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita reference, we can be so connected. Service unto. So let's see if there's any discussion on this. Questions? Comments? Anything? Yeah.
When you were speaking about spiritualizing everything, all the material world, material energy, but you see that the outside world is so, everything is so contaminated.
Yeah.
So, and Krishna has to be offered pure, like water is more of goodness. So how do you know whether it is offerable or not?
Well, two things on this point, not exhaustive, but Prabhupada said the same thing that you said, in this age of Kali, nothing is pure. And so, but we're still to engage in the Lord's service. And so, what he explained was, well, the application of this point is a little delicate, but he said, if when money is spent, and the thing that is purchased, you know, speaking of milk, or, you know, fruits and everything we buy has pesticides and, you know, all kinds of yucky things. Even organic, you know, so what? But anyways, it just describes how it was grown. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have any pesticides, because the water table and so. By the act of, what I understand is the act of sacrifice, taking for Krishna and offering to Krishna, Krishna accepts. Like it was pointed out to Prabhupada that milk has vitamin D. And vitamin D, at least, I don't know what they're doing these days, but at that time it was fish. Cod liver oil, vitamin D. And we offer to Krishna slaughtered fish. And Prabhupada made this explanation. So then with that authorization, we did. And then some other people came along there are vegans, and said, you know, you shouldn't, not just because of the fish that's in the milk, but even if you have, you know, if you buy whole milk from cows, that the cows are later than these slaughters, or you should boycott milk and become a vegan because animals are treated not nicely. But then we're depriving the cow of that service to Krishna. We're depriving Krishna of milk. So where the application of principles, where you draw the line, that's the Acharya's business. So therefore we regularly turn to what did Prabhupada say in this regard. And the faithful follower of Srila Prabhupada simply that does it. Now, he also indicated that we should try to set up model communities where, as far as possible, you know, closer one can get things that are pure. Where the cow is actually protected. You know, but to really, there was a period of time when in Europe the devotees were every lecture. I mean, some European devotees came and spoke, you know, visited our temple. Every lecture had something about nothing is pure. They had a zillion, billion examples. There was like this pure phobia or something. But it's Kali Yuga. So, aside from things that we offer, is there some other thought that you have about finding things that are pure, where you draw the line?
The main point was this one.
Okay. Well, there's another, just long on topic. There's an instruction from Lord Chaitanya to Advaita Acharya about not taking money from materialistic people.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's another example.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's everybody. So the instruction is two things. There the instruction is specifically from someone in the renounced order of life. And it doesn't give an extended purport. But my understanding of it is this, that Prabhupada himself, by his own example, accepted money from industrialists and, you know, the life member program, you know, people that are materialists. But the purpose of that was carefully considered. It wasn't, so now I have something, but it was engaging such people in service to Krishna. It didn't stick. He wasn't thinking, I'll go for that person because I'll have something. They'll be benefited by helping to build this temple. Jiva temple, for example. But when Prabhupada knew that persons were engaged in illegal and explicitly illegal and immoral activities, rather than going into the details, there are incidents where that happened, and Prabhupada refused. Keep your money.
Also, Maharaj, like design, like in the corporate world, like, there's so much deception, like cheating, like,
yeah.
You have to boast yourself and all these things. So it is contrary to
that's contradictory. You said you have to do those things. You don't have to do those things. Those things go on, but that doesn't mean you have to partake in those things. Engage in deception. You don't have to engage in deception. If you don't engage in deception, you don't get promotion. Okay, no problem. No promotion. What's valuable to me? Integrity. And ultimately, where there's consistent integrity, that person will be trusted. Unless the whole business is cheating, we can't have this person here because he's not going to be able to, he'll let the world know that we're cheating. So we have to get rid of this guy. And better to be rid of that company, that association. But where there's a person who can be trusted, they'll be given that some trustworthy service, responsibility. And even if that doesn't happen, so what? What profit of a man if he gains the whole world and loses his immortal soul, said in the Bible. We don't go by that principle, we go by integrity. We go by what will be pleasing to Krishna. In the first canto, in the 13th chapter, where Vidura is asked an explicit question, how are the Yadus and Kauravas doing? He doesn't answer that question. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains, for a higher cause, sometimes this deception may take place. And he gives some examples, Sanatana Goswami. So there is allowance for that, one should be very careful. For the most part, we're not qualified to do those things. We just stay in the side of no deception. But if great personalities do such things for a greater cause, for us, better to err, if there's a chance of erring, on the side of caution with these things. Something? No? Anyone else? What is it? Hmm? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Vyasadeva is Vishnu Tattva, right?
He's an empowered... My understanding is he's a Shakti Vesha avatar, he's Jiva Tattva. And so?
In this case, Narada Maharshi is a spiritual master of...
That's okay. Let's just do another example. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was his spiritual master? Ishwar Puri. Lord Krishna, who was his spiritual master? Sandipani Muni. No problem.
In older ages, when sanskaras were performed properly, and so the caste system was by birth. It used to work by birth?
Yeah. Generally, but not always, even in Vedic times. The example was discussed yesterday of Gotama and Satyakama. Satyakama was accepted. There's many examples, actually. Many examples. Yes. Primarily, yes, but not always. Vishvamitra. Example, first in Parashuram. Example is a person born in a certain way, accepting another position. By the quality. Okay.
Yeah. Much on the topic of samskaras, I missed when you said you specifically gave references of Ashwatthama and Sringi, that although they were born perhaps with samskaras,
yeah,
some were acted as Brahma Bandhus.
Yes.
I did connected.
So, I don't see what... I'm not clear what you're not clear about.
although they had the samskaras, maybe they...
We'll assume that they did. And so that's necessary but not sufficient. You got that?
Yes.
Okay.
They've realized from his spiritual master that Srimad Bhagavatam is for everyone, that with qualifications or without qualifications.
Yeah.
Then what's the purpose of Vedas to be continued?
What's the purpose to be continued?
I mean, he could have just said that no need to follow Vedas. Vyasadeva could have said that no need to follow Vedas, only follow Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, another way to ask the same question is, why did he even bother to write them in the first place?
Yeah.
Or going back further in time, why did the Supreme Lord Narayan bother to manifest them at all?
Yeah.
Why? And then another related question is, why material world? People have other desires. And so, because people have other desires, the Lord is reciprocating and addresses those other desires. They don't want to approach Krishna. They've got an issue with Krishna. I got a Krishna attitude problem. But give them some other something. They care about something, maybe. At least those that want to be regulated. So the means to regulate them. Some people really like rituals. Some people really like this, and some people really like that. They have desires. Krishna's kind. Gives them a menu. Huh? Yeah.
Well, there's like when there is any kind of chronic event, I understand that's the arrangement of Krishna and taking care of the body should be taken as a service to Krishna. But like there's so much inspiration or enthusiasm. What is the practical application in this case? Like how
internal.
How?
You got no suggestion?
What is the form of expression to Krishna or the spiritual master?
When Prabhupada was preparing to leave, on his deathbed, when Prabhupada was preparing to leave, what happened to the external manifestation of Prabhupada's service? It was withdrawn. But what did that do to the devotees, the disciples? Because of the loving nature of Prabhupada, he chose, in his case, to allow disciples to do all kinds of intimate services. And he demonstrated a very, very strong Krishna consciousness and very loving quality. It drew everybody to him even more. So taking the example of our founder Acharya, then applying that to ourselves, just being, the expression is be Krishna conscious. Be an example of one who's like what Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is doing, is detached from the body. That I'm sure there's all of our society persons are taking great inspiration from that. Wow, it's real. One can actually be detached from the body. You know, how energetic is he? Explosive. And he can't do any of those things. So it's internal. It's just reciprocating exchanges of love on another platform. Like Grandfather Bhishma is lying in a bed of arrows. Every time I read that section, it says he receives everybody perfectly according to Vaishnava etiquette. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't, but it's what he extended from his heart was the reception. Let's say, you know, another circumstance besides chronic health, someone's living situation may be such that the scene at home is such that they can't exhibit anything. And then the instruction for that person is just be internal. And by being internal, like what's Chaitanya's instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami? Cultivate inwardly your relationship with Krishna. And one day you will be with me. That was Lord Chaitanya's teaching.
In the Bhagavatam, like Vyasadev has written first other Puranas and then he was not satisfied, then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. But it is explained that in other Puranas also there is reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. Was it a plan that Srimad Bhagavatam will be written later?
Yes. Please bear in mind that Vyasadeva is Trikalagya. And that should answer your question. But also when he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he compiled it in four essential verses first, and then expanded upon that in the 18,000. He just acted according to Krishna's divine will as an empowered incarnation of the Lord. Without that understanding, it's bewildering. So many things are bewildering. This afternoon, or whatever it is, midday, I want to speak about Akura, because when many devotees came to New York for the weekend, on Friday evening, I spoke on about the life of the very intriguing life of Akura that illustrates some very important, very wonderful principles. But when an example of this is Shukadeva Goswami also, in narrating that whole story, the Shamataka Jewel, at one point Krishna is defamed. The residents of Dwaraka are finding fault with Krishna for the fact that there's problems in Dwaraka, and their understanding is the reason for the problems is Akura has gone away, and Krishna approved of Akura going away. Very complicated. I mean, I won't tell the whole thing, but Shukadeva Goswami speaks on the one hand that Krishna didn't fully agree with that was the reason. But of course, Krishna fully knew what the reason was. Krishna orchestrated the whole thing, and he's omniscient. So, and Shukadeva Goswami also knew that Krishna was in, he also knew, yet he was speaking in a certain way. So Vyas, going back to your question, Vyas may describe the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Puranas in a certain way and not even have completed the Srimad Bhagavatam yet. Not a problem for Vyas. He's playing a certain function. An actor on a stage carrying out a service. With literary service. Anything else?
Yes. The jiva, when in the spiritual world, he desires to enjoy separately from Krishna, and that's why.
Oh, here we go. Your classic question. I'll give you my classic answer. You've heard it before, right? If you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do not ask the misleading question, when is the living entity created? Because that's a misleading question. Nor when the living entity is enthralled, as if it's an event in time.
I'm
giving you Bhaktivinoda Thakur's answer. The question is misleading. The question places that event in time, and it's not an event in time. Let's go back to the first part. Living entities are emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the living entities are eternal. So was there a point in time, once upon a time, Krishna was in the spiritual world and he looked at his digital clock and said, oh, it's time for living entities. And then he created living entities. There's not something like that. Although the living entities emanate from the Supreme Lord. You can say it's an event, but not an event in time. It's an existential or ontological relationship between living entities and God. They're emanations from the Supreme Lord. It's not an event in time, as we think of time. And so, similarly, living entities have an eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. And due to misuse of free will, living entities are in this condition. But it wasn't once upon a time living entities looked at their watch and said, I've been here long enough, I'm ready to get out of here. And then they misused their free will and then they came. It's an event, but it's misleading to think of that event in that way. And because the question itself, the concept of time applied to that event is wrong, the outcome is, you don't find a reasonable answer to that question. There is no good reason. Why would the, and that's where people get stuck spinning their wheels in that question. It just gets really messy. Mud goes flying all over the place and you're still stuck.
Actually, the question was like, the desire of enjoying separate from Krishna is not a spiritual desire. So,
I understand the question. I understand how can something material enter into the spiritual realm like a desire to enjoy apart from Krishna? I understand. I got the whole thing. Prabhupada's answer to this one is the reason that this is like the showstopper of the whole thing. The reason that one cannot understand this is because of the strong desire to equate the living entity with Vishnu. The fact is, the living entity can misuse free will. that's the distinction between the living entity who's tiny and Vishnu who's unlimited. That is the distinction. We can misuse free will. It's an event that takes place, but it's not an event in time. That framed in that question is, there we are, look at the watch, it's now, we're in the spiritual world, and now while in the spiritual world, here comes this thing from the material world. How can the material thing from the material world enter the spiritual world? And it enters into the heart of the living entity, decides, now I'm going to go to the material world. It's an event in time. It's more fundamental than that. It's the option is there for living entities to properly use and wish. And that's in the spiritual world. Prabhupada says it the other way. Once we return to the spiritual world, the option is still there. We're still marginal. We don't become something else in the liberated state. It's intrinsic to the soul. Proper use and free use, or proper use and improper use of will. Think of it as an event in time, and you can't figure it out. Because it's not an event in time. It's an anadi event. And you read in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the one purport, Prabhupada says, don't waste your time with this question. You won't be able to understand it in this condition because you think of... Take another anadi event, like Krishna's Nityaluna. Try to understand that one. Don't try to understand that one because it's inconceivable. How are Krishna's pastimes always, all of his pastimes always taking place? We can't think of events like that. We can just appreciate it. Wow, that's amazing. Insane. And Prabhupada says in the same purport, when one is liberated, one will understand. Because not that I'm saying I understand it, but the conception is, it's very simple. It's not an event in time. There are such things as events that aren't past, present, future. That this question framed by the person asking the question is an event in time. Once upon a time, we're properly using our free will. Some time passed, and then something happened, and we misused our free will. Something material entered the spiritual world, and then, so how did that something that's material enter the spiritual world? It didn't. It's an intrinsic quality of the soul to properly use or improperly use their free will. And that event, which is not an event in time. Okay, what's a timeless event? It's inconceivable. There's lots of inconceivable things. And besides inconceivable, like besides timeless events. Try to conceive of Krishna expanding everything and entering into everything that he expands. He does it. How does he do it? By his inconceivable potency. And he's simultaneously both. He's inside his own mouth with Mother Jasoda seeing him inside his own mouth. And she's there too. Ask your friend. When you can explain this one, you can explain that one. Or if I, it's just something we appreciate. This is Krishna's Achintya Shakti. And Jiva Goswami says, without accepting the Lord has Achintya Shakti, there's no question of understanding the Lord. Because in other words, we're trying to bring Krishna to the platform of the mind, but he's not. It's not something within the mind you can conceive of. Anadi events are not something you can conceive of. I know persons that have left Krishna consciousness over this because somebody else came along and said, it's not like that, Prabhupada was wrong, it's like that. Or like this. And the this doesn't make any sense to me at all. Some living entities, they're just nityabaddha. And some living entities are just nityasiddha. There's no free will involved in it at all. Just Krishna arbitrarily, okay, you're over there and you're over there. And that's not the Krishna I know. But that, they left Krishna consciousness over there. Then they, okay, we're here because Krishna, you know, just decided we go in the doghouse. And we just stay here until somehow something happens. And it's not an act of free will that something happens. It's just, okay, you can come back now. It's whimsical. That's not Krishna. And there are people that, you know, that call themselves intelligent to buy into it. I won't go into it anymore. It gets me a little more than angry because they're it's offensive to our Gaudiya and his spiritual master who taught us the Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and so it's not Madhurina Samacha. Something else that we could end on besides that note. Those that are having this, some of the ways of going back to Detroit, try to get a copy of the class this afternoon because it'll I think you'll appreciate hearing the discussion. It's covering some nice points. See you in the pod. Yeah.